how are you? So what are we discussing at this meeting?
MP5 checksums.
That's it?
That's it, yes.
Okay.
And I saw your email earlier. This is Steve. And issue of the tools requirements, that's a totally separate thing.
Okay, good. Yeah, Emily sent me the stuff that apparently got lost somewhere. Well, frankly, I know where it got lost. It got lost somewhere between the department mail handler and my inbox.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where all my mail gets lost nowadays.
Okay.
Not all of it, but I'm now convinced that I'm not accidentally deleting it.
Okay. So, yeah, you know that this is just a tools requirement review.
Okay. Do we have any idea what the time scale is for that?
I didn't send the message out. Sean's coordinating it. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Hope it's in the email you got.
The email that Emily sent me just sent me the documents. I haven't actually printed the documents yet.
I'll find out for you what that is then.
Yeah, because if it's in, like, the next week, that's a problem. If it's 2 weeks, that's manageable.
I understand. I'll find out what it is for you.
Yeah, the message that she forwarded just said a soon-to-be-scheduled review. Oh, there's more text. Okay. Well, I'll read it when I get a chance. I don't see any dates as I skim through it, but I've got two PDF files and a doc file that I'll have to send somewhere to convert.
So you do have the PDFs?
Yeah, I have two PDFs and a doc file.
Okay.
I don't know what's in the doc file, of course, because I can't read doc files.
You can't use doc files, yeah.
I'll ship them over to a Linux system and convert it. As long as I don't have to talk about it intelligently today, we're in good shape.
I thought you liked surprises.
Yeah, my favorite thing in the whole wide world. Depends on the class of surprise. I have been known to order off a menu in a foreign language that I neither speak nor read just to see what shows up. That's entertaining.
And then you actually eat it.
Oh, hell yeah. It's no fun if you don't actually commit to eating it.
Well, I know you eat venison, so if you're eating venison, you can eat about anything.
I disagree with that one. Venison actually is not bad. There's a lot of things on this planet I would not eat.
Those wild things.
You know, that sounds tasty.
I'm sorry, who just joined us?
Gio.
Hi, Gio. How you doing, like, Susie?
Five different people here.
Keith is there. Who else?
Keith is here. Ed Guinness is here. Tom Stein is here. Dan Scholes is here. And I'm here.
Wow. Great. Well, welcome, all of you.
That's crowded.
Why? What are you expecting? A coup?
No, well, I'll tell you what we're expecting. Any minute now, Ray Arvidson's first grandchild is coming to visit us here.
Wow.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, she is less than 12 months. I've forgotten. What is she, 6 months now?
Still impressionable.
I'm leaving when that happens. I'm going to be out of this meeting, just to let you know.
Did you draw straws to see who gets to leave the meeting?
Well, it's none of us, is
no,
it?
No, draw straws, who has to stay.
Are we it?
Right now we just got three nodes.
Oh, good. Let's make a decision and then end the meeting before anybody else shows up.
And Todd's not coming? Is that right?
That's true, but he said that Steve Joy would be sitting in for him.
Okay.
I hope he informed Steve Joy of this.
Is there a management council meeting or something going on?
Department's meeting. Hi, Steve.
It's a what?
Hi, guys.
I'm sorry, it's a level 3 requirements meeting or something like that. I don't know the details.
A face-to-face meeting or just a telecon?
I think it's a telecon.
Oh, okay, that doesn't explain it then. I'm trying to figure out why I haven't got any bosses in town. Hello, Steve.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
All right. Have you been fully briefed?
On?
Todd said that you would be representing for him on this SCR?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So do you want to do it the easy way, or do you want to do it the hard way? Just kidding. There is no easy way.
That was pretty much my thinking.
Hello, Dick. Good morning.
Good morning. Anybody else here?
Yes, we have Small Bodies, Geo, PPI, Engineering, and yourself.
Okay.
Mike McCauley said he was going to try and join us. It sounds like he had something else happening, so I'm not sure if he'll be in or not. Well, we might as well get going. I'm not expecting we're going to get to the place of being able to vote today. So maybe it's not all that critical that we have all the nodes. Steve, would you like to go ahead and present the a summary of the SDR?
Okay, let me pull it up on my screen. Basically, the SDR has to do with the usage of the MD5 checksum. And the MD5 checksum keyword has been accepted in the data dictionary, or has at least been included in the data dictionary with a pending status. But there really wasn't a whole lot of guidelines explaining when or how to use it. And so that's what this SCR is designed to address. And I guess there are a number of us right now who are using the MD5 checksum. PPI uses it. It's all the Cassini fields and particles instruments have a requirement within their SISs to provide MD5 checksums for all of their data files within their lake. And I, from scanning through Todd's SCR, there are other users at Imaging and Geo of this checksum.
As a keyword.
As a keyword.
And I noticed SBN was listed, but with no details. Are you using it?
We're listed as what?
You're listed under the current or planned uses. It just says SBN, but then there's nothing else listed. And I wasn't sure if that was just an accident. Todd was expecting an email from you or something.
No, we're not using it currently. We have no particular plans to use it, but I have no problem with it.
Okay.
And I think that what Todd meant, intended by that was that he had no idea whether SBN was using it or not.
Gotcha. Okay.
Whereas he knew that Imaging, Geo, and PPI were all using it.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, most of our data is still ASCII tables, and it's pretty easy to tell whether or not you've got the ASCII table right. But I can certainly see a use for it. On the other hand, I didn't consider this to be a major issue, frankly. I would have just proposed a keyword and had done with. But we do run into a problem with a keyword if you have multiple detached files that are referenced by the same label.
Correct.
Because, of course, PDS labels, apart from the object's beginning and ending statements, have no required ordering. Keywords are not inherently ordered.
The other issue comes in whether or not keyword can be used within an object other than a file object, either implied or explicitly called out.
That would solve the problem if each of your data objects was in a separate file, which isn't necessarily true either.
Yes, and that's the main issue that Todd wanted to address here with regard to that was that that MD5 checksums should be applied at the file level. That even if you have a file that contains multiple objects, the likelihood of corrupting things by decomposing the file, the separately produced checksums, you gain nothing with that.
Yeah, no, the problem is the file, for example, the label, that references an image file, an image in one separate file, and in a second separate file also points to a table and a histogram. So you've got two separate files, which would each require their own checksum, but you've actually got three data objects, so you can't really put it in the data object. And the problem is that the way the labeling system is set up, you don't have explicit file objects for the two separate detached files. Now, I would consider that a bad way of writing a label to begin with, but what can you do?
Yeah. In that instance, Anne, if you wanted to use the MD5 checksum, I would argue that you should use explicit file objects. And
is that an option? Will that break NASA view, for example?
Okay, I think we need to back up a little bit. We've got, I think, a number of different purposes for using the checksum, and depending on what the purpose is, it's going to argue whether or not you want to do checksums on the file or the object level. And, in fact, I believe we need to do both. My reasoning is, as Todd has written in this SDR, when we do file-level checksums, that helps us in the case of doing media refreshing, of transferring files over the Internet, making sure that we're not dropping bits in files that are already archived, well-established, etc. Where I believe the object checksums can be important is during ground processing, for example, when we're frequently updating values in the label. If we do a file checksum and then some of the label values are changed, the old checksum has now become worthless in terms of verifying whether or not the data integrity has been maintained. Furthermore, if we end up having to go back and reproduce old data sets in order to bring them up to new PDF standards, you know, for example, if we move to PDF 4 and decide to go back and redo our old data sets, then again, we lose all data integrity checks that we've done if they were done on a file level rather than on an object level.
Well, two problems.
Go ahead.
Two problems with that. First of all, I'll repeat that. So the first question is, how do you run checksums on part of a file? And the second point is, as Todd points out in the SCR, if you, the checksum refers to the label in which the checksum it sits, you can't have the checksum in the label to which it refers.
Okay.
It's not possible. It has to be external.
Okay, and actually, yes, you can. Here's the issue. If you have a checksum on an object, there's no reason you can't include it in the label.
But you can't check the label.
As long as it's in a separate file.
The label checking is what's done when you do the file checksum. Okay, you've got the checksums that are done on your data objects, and that checksum can be stored in the label without impacting any of the checksum values.
If the object is either in a separate file from the label or if you can somehow run a checksum on part of a file.
There's no reason we can't write very simple software that would take advantage of existing checksum utilities and first detach a label, do a checksum on the object, and then reattach the label. In fact, you don't even need to do that. All you need to do is read in your label bytes, throw them away, read in the checksum on the data object, and then calculate the checksum.
Okay.
So the software issue is not a big deal. And again, when you're doing the checksums on the objects themselves, there is no impact whatsoever if you store that value in the label. Mm-hmm. Obviously, any modifications you make to a label are going to impact the checksum for the file, and that's in fact why I believe we need to have them, because a label modification is something that happens frequently before the data is fully archived.
Elizabeth, I think that's way beyond the intent of this SCR.
That's because, okay, this is the issue. This SCR is specifically addressing file objects, or file checksums. The problem is, I've heard from both Todd and a couple other sources that people want to drop the object checksum, and I think both of them need to be on the table. I'm happy to discuss this SCR strictly as a file checksum SCR, but I believe we need to bring the other one back on the table.
Yeah, if you say you can calculate it, then I can see where it would be useful, and I don't have a problem with that. reading over this sort of introductory stuff here, here's what occurred to me. I would probably define checksum as a class word. I would define the keyword MD5 checksum to be the checksum relevant to the reference object. So at whatever level you find it, that's the scope at which it applies. So if the MD5 checksum shows up inside the image object, then it refers to just the image object data. If it shows up at the implicit file level of a detached label, then it refers to the detached file. You run into problems if you have more than one detached file, but frankly, make a design choice. At that point, I can't possibly deal with every contingency. And then that way you have a class word that has a partial definition so that if somebody decides they want to use the SH1 checksum, all they have to do is propose a new keyword. We don't have to go through the whole SCR thing again.
What do you think? I don't think it's a bad idea.
Oh, and the other thing that you might want to do is you might want to refer, you might want to reserve MD5 as a file extension specifically to hold MD5 checksum lists.
Well,
I don't know if that's useful or not. It just occurred to me that text is sort of overused, and that would give you a clue if somebody sees something .md5. I think they know what that means.
Well,
The standard tool that's out there for checking, say, a DVD's worth of checksums,
mm-hmm.
MD5 deep, and it expects a file called md5sums.txt.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So it's both the file it creates if you run it, and it's if you load a something like a DVD that has one of these files on it, and use it to verify that all the files on the DVD have indeed the same checksums as they had prior to writing.
Yeah, okay.
It's nice for DVD validation or media creation validation, or if you copy it.
And the standard tool doesn't let you give it a different file name?
You know, that's a Todd question. I haven't used the tool myself.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, have you used it? Joe's actually running a test right now. I'll get back to that.
And then the other point would be, shouldn't that md5sums.txt file have a label, a text label?
Yes, it does need to.
It'll probably be detached, because I would guess that an attached label might screw up the very software that you're trying to support.
Exactly.
But.
Like, you can have a detached text label.
But that's something we're going to need to have spelled out explicitly in this SDR with an example.
Is this MD5 Deep a PDS tool?
No.
It's a standard.
Well, let's be careful about using standard. Is it PDS?
No.
Then we could write our own.
That's true.
If we had the algorithm. Can we get the algorithm on file somewhere?
It is. The algorithm is published.
Yeah, that's fine. We just need a copy in the PDS someplace we can reference it.
Okay, then that's probably something else that needs to be stated explicitly in here. PDS must have a copy of the algorithm on file.
Yeah, if it isn't stated explicitly anywhere that PDS will maintain a copy of all external standards referenced by PDS, then yeah, we need to state it explicitly here.
Excuse me, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
So is this meeting discussing the SDR that Todd sent out?
I think that's probably what we should do.
Okay. We're not going to go off on other issues. Is that correct?
Correct.
Then can I ask that each node that's representative maybe have a turn to comment on what Todd sent out and Steve described rather than a free-form discussion?
I'm not sure Steve finished his introductory remarks.
Why don't we let Steve... Steve, do you have anything more that you'd like to add?
No, I mean, we can kind of walk through what Todd has stated here. I mean, what he's really got here is sort of... two SDRs, or two parts of the SDR. One is for the use of the MD5 checksum keyword in a label, and the other one is for creating a complete set of checksums for all the files on a volume, whether it be an electronic volume or a physical volume, and how to store that information. So, if the nodes would like to walk through and provide specific comments to the SDR, that's time for that.
Okay. Is anyone here from Atmospheres? Okay, Gio, why don't you go next?
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
So, in general, I think the Geo node, and we had a discussion among ourselves this morning, is in favor with the idea of using MD5 checksums. And Tom has actually investigated some of the different types of checksums and agrees with the statements of Todd that MD5 is sufficient and probably the easiest to compute and fastest. So, in general, we are in favor of this idea for the intended purpose of ensuring integrity of files and archives. We do have a couple of comments. One is, and as noted in here, we have in fact been using MD5s in some of our internal work. One comment on, I guess it came out on the third page, item 2, the idea of placing the manifest file with the checksums on the root volume. As long as that's optional, we have no objection to it, and it's probably a good idea. But I would point out that if you're putting the file that has the information to do the integrity checking on a volume or on an online system that could get corrupted or files get lost, that is not sufficient for the intended purpose of maintaining the integrity of the archive, then in fact, within the node, that information should at least be kept somewhere separately so that if the checksum file goes bad on the media or the file is lost, you still have a backup there. Another item is that, and I think other people have mentioned it in the beginning, that PDS should, if we adopt this, then we should have the information on where the tools exist for generating one's own checksums in the standards reference, and we should have a copy of what we think is good software on our software page so that if users want to get a copy of MD5 software to check the files on their end, they can do so. Another item Tom brought up was, well, it's not that simple if you have a manifest file to actually then take an individual file or an archive volume and do you could run the software, but then you need some kind of tool to go into the manifest file and help you check that the two checksums actually match. So it might be that PDS wants to step up and have some kind of tool that allows someone to actually do the check and the comparison and see that their file is okay. And the last comment I want to make is that in the impact assessment, item number 2, the statement, including MD5 checksums in online delivery of products, that's a bit vague because we don't really see in the way the SER is written, is Todd implying that we are going to make that a requirement that we include the checksums or not, and exactly how that will be done. So those are our comments, but in general, we're in favor of using this technology for maintaining the integrity of our archives.
Okay, thank you. Is anyone from Imaging online? Anyone from MAFE? Okay, Steve, you've essentially made the comments, or did you have some things you'd like to add?
No. At this time, I do not believe that Todd was suggesting that it be required that online deliveries include an MD5 checksum.
Yeah, but both of the impacts assume that's going to be true. Not just number 2, but number 1 sort of assumes it also.
Okay. Dick, did you have any other comments?
Yeah, I had a few. There are some wording things like theoretical lifespans. I think we can tidy that up. The part about this all being conjectural, that it's unique, bothers me a little bit because I'd like to, maybe we don't even need that language, but every time we have a statement that is conjectural, that is computationally infeasible and things like that, a couple of sentences later, there's something about, oh, well, this is demonstrated to be true in all but the most extreme circumstances. So the question is, does this really work? And if people have found ways to get around it, maybe we ought to know about it. My impression was that this was pretty sturdy.
Okay, I can fill you in a little bit on what I've heard, and do not take this as gospel. This is just my understanding. The only real concerns about the MD5 checksum, where it breaks down, have to do with cases where you're using it for, code or like security type stuff, where you're getting into actually using it to create binary code.
Right.
When you're simply using it for the purposes that we're using it for ensuring data integrity, that it is very good. The one case that I believe I've heard of where you can have two files that are different that produce the same checksum Oh, gosh. And I think this has to do with where you have bytes that are flipped within the same record in a file. I think that's the only case. And again, I'm going to have to go back and verify this. I think Mike McCauley knows for certain what the cases are. But if you have, for example, two bytes that are flipped from one record to the next record, they will produce different checksums. If you simply have one byte that is changed in isolation, it will produce different checksums. But if you flip two bytes on the same record, I think you may get the same checksum.
Okay.
I don't know.
We probably ought to have that information. I would have just swallowed this as being the perfect solution, but the wording in the SCR made me step back and say perhaps we don't have the whole story.
Okay. Certainly what I can do is I can get some more details from Mike, and perhaps we could throw in a paragraph that just provides the exact level of error that we can, you know, we still might encounter.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Under current and planned uses, PPI is listed, and it says the Cassini sys. I assume there's more than one Cassini sys, so it might be nice to make that a little bit more specific. Under proposed solution, I don't see anything here that addresses point number 3, which says this would permit MD5 checksums to be included. Apparently people are doing that already. So I think they're permitted. What this does is it provides kind of a legal framework that people can use them in. Under requested changes to the standards reference, the first sentence isn't quite right because it says this file contains an MD5 checksum for every file in the volume, but the MD5sums.txt file itself will not be checked. So that needs to be revised. I also had a question on whether the idea was to include directories like the extras in the MD5sums.txt file. That's more of an informational thing. We don't consider extras to be part of the archive, but somebody's going to decide whether they want to include that in the checksums file.
Can I address that comment?
Sure.
If you don't include the extras directory and you run MD5D from that file, it'll basically report errors back as not having validated. It expects it to, that every file beneath it
okay.
included.
So if we use that software.
If we use that software.
Will it include an error on the MD5 checksum, excuse me, on the MD5 sums file itself?
No, it will not.
Okay.
It can't check itself.
No, I know that, but what I'm wondering is will it detect a file called MD5 sums and say this isn't listed in the file?
No, it doesn't report that error simply because it knows that.
Okay.
Would it report files that are parallel, like the AA readme and the RADA.txt? Because those aren't below it. Those are parallel.
It'll work from its directory down.
So it would not report on AA readme or RADA.txt?
No, I actually believe it will report on AA readme and the RADA.txt.
So it doesn't work just down. It works sideways.
It begins in the directory where it sits and works from there.
Okay. All right, changes to the data dictionary. I would like to see a revised proposed submission for the data dictionary. What we have here seems incomplete. For example, the first paragraph ends with a fragment, an MD5 checksum can be used too, which isn't a sentence. The next paragraph starts off, most standard MD5 checksum calculators return a 32-character hexadecimal value. I've been assuming that that's all we're talking about, this 32-character string. If some of these calculators return something else, we ought to know about that. And PDS probably ought to refuse to deal with anything that doesn't have a 32-character output.
They all produce a 32-character output. Most of them contain lowercase letters.
Okay, so we're not talking about the number of characters. We're talking about whether they're lowercase or uppercase.
And with the PDF standards, if you've got a lowercase on the right-hand side of the equals, you need to quote it.
Yeah, I understand. So
that's the issue, is whether you have to quote it or not.
Okay. Maybe we ought to... Do we care what whether it's upper or lowercase? I mean, what happens with MD5 Deep if it sees all uppercase?
I believe it's using the character encoding as the, it's encoding its string value as specific bytes. So yes, capital A and small a make a difference.
Okay, the example only shows lower. But okay, anyway, we need to get that cleared up.
I couldn't find any software that produced an MD5 checksum with uppercase.
Really? Well, that's interesting. Okay.
But because I couldn't find one doesn't mean that one doesn't exist.
Well, but it's very suggestive, because if it really was just going along with character encodings, then you would expect uppercase to be probably about as common as lowercase.
Yes, Steve?
Yes?
The tool Tom has been using, I think, the data I've seen, we generate all uppercase ones.
Okay.
So I guess that is an issue of whether it is case-sensitive or not.
Yeah, I guess that would be the thing I would like to check, is when we're actually going back and validating these things, once the checksums have been produced, is the case going to matter? Or do we simply need to make sure that whatever software we're using to do the check translates all the values to one case or the other?
I think it's supposed to be a hexadecimal number or something equivalent to it, so my guess is the case doesn't matter, but we ought to make it clear what we're expecting.
If it's a hexadecimal number, you wouldn't expect to see any letters past F.
And I don't.
Ah.
I don't think anyone's arguing that it's hexadecimal. I think what we're arguing is it upper or lower case?
It should be one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the point is if it's hexadecimal, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're only A to F.
But if your calculator puts it out lowercase, then you have to quote it.
Okay, so that's the reason you're treating this as a text sum as opposed to a hexadecimal non-decimal number? I mean, we've got the capability of indicating that a number is hexadecimal. Should we not be doing it that way instead, and then case doesn't matter?
Yeah, and then we drop the quotes.
That's preferable.
Then maybe we should just store it as uppercase and let the interpreting software change it if needed. Anyway, that's all I had. I'm basically okay with the idea. I'm not ready to make this required, but I think this is a useful step.
32 characters.
Well, 32 characters is what we've got. You're saying, but you're concerned that the 32 characters plus the pound signs for the hexadecimal notation?
Well, this is the area, this is the problem we're running into right now with the math being 32 characters.
Okay, but is that including just the value within the mask, or is it including the characters of the mask itself?
Within the mask.
Okay, if this is 32 characters, we should be okay, shouldn't we?
We're running into this 32-character problem right now. So.
Oh, because 32 is too large.
Or the parser, apparently.
Okay, we're going to have to check on to whether or not we can handle the 32-bit mask, and that, I mean, if we can't, maybe we just need to fix the software.
What's wrong with just putting it in double quotes?
Because it's... My problem with putting it in double quotes is it's not, frankly, a string. It's a hexadecimal number. And if it's a hexadecimal number, let's treat it as a hexadecimal number.
Oh, but the introductory remarks say it's a 128-bit number or a 32-character string of hexadecimal digits. So I think it is a number.
Yeah.
It's just not a number that most of our computers can deal with.
That's the issue. All right.
But it is a number. And I'd rather not have quotes if it's a number.
What do we specify as a general data type is the question then?
There is a general data type of non-decimal, which is what we're supposed to use for binary and octal and hexadecimal numbers. But as you say, if we can't handle, oh boy. In other words, is this going to be treated as a string by the software that's attempting to validate it?
I think the impact statement may have to include adding ifs to a lot of places where it runs into 32-character hexadecimal numbers.
That definitely could be the impact.
Yeah.
And that's a major impact.
It sounds like we need to look into this a little bit further. Okay.
That's why we have these reviews.
Yeah. Okay, Dick, are you finished?
I'm finished.
Okay, great. Let's see. Anne, what comments do you have?
In addition to everything mentioned before, I'm concerned that so much of this SCR and standards changes, the specific standards changes, depend on first MD5 checksums as distinct from other checksums that are currently used or may be developed in the relatively near future, and even worse, a specific tool. So I have a problem with the md5sums.txt file in the root directory because that's to support one specific tool for one specific type of checksum. And either we're going to allow general checksum type support files to be in the root directory, and that's fine, but I don't want to have to modify the standards every time a new one comes along, or we put them in a different directory so that they're just part of the stuff that might show up in a document directory or an index directory or something like that. But I don't like the idea of modifying the standards and the requirements and allowable options on PDS logical volume format to conform to one specific tool that probably has a shelf life of 5 years. So that's the big worry I see now. Apart from that, unfortunately, I think we've run into an ODL limitation when you're talking about 32-bit hexadecimal strings or 128-bit numbers, 32-character hexadecimal strings. I think we may have exceeded the design of ODL, and that may not be an easy fix, but I don't know how to advise you on that one.
Should we view this more as data management so it would be outside the official archive delivery, that you'd submit some sort of integrity checking file that would go along with a volume?
Actually, Dick, you've reminded me. There is a third point that I wanted to make. All this paragraph that argues about how MD5 is important for media maintenance, that argument's actually specious. All MD5 tells you is whether or not your medium has gone bad. It will not help you recover. Once your MD5 checksum tells you that your medium has gone bad, unless you have another copy somewhere, you're screwed. So checksums are really only helpful in a contemporary way to tell you if you successfully transferred the file that you started with.
The point that Todd was trying to make there was that if you could do a verification, that if you could verify that the media had gone bad, you wouldn't just duplicate it.
You'd have
a mechanism to know that I've got to get another copy of this and get it onto media.
That's true, but what if there isn't another copy? I don't want to give the impression that MD5 adds anything in terms of insurance to the deep archive. It doesn't. It purely is a help if you're transferring and you want to make sure that you got at the end what you should have gotten. And I don't have a problem with storing it on a physical volume because it does have that use. But don't think that it buys you anything in terms of saving the archive, because it doesn't.
So, and you're saying basically it's an indicator that something's gone bad.
During a transfer, exactly.
That's all.
And I don't think anybody, I mean, I haven't heard anybody say that they think that this is going to save them if a file goes bad. I think it's pretty obvious that you need a backup. I don't think there is a data set that doesn't have a backup.
That's right, but the problem is the way the paragraph is stated, it's talking about using to refresh media and the MD5's utility in refreshing media, and I think the argument is not quite as focused as I would like.
And can you tell me which paragraph you're looking at?
Under the problem, the second paragraph, the PDS archive is maintained on media which has theoretical lifespans.
Okay.
There are basically two parts to the SCR. One is fix the data dictionary entry, and two is add this md.sums.txt file. Basically, page one is kind of off the mark in terms of what Todd's actually trying to do. Mm-hmm. What he's trying to do is two related but separate things, and they're really quite trivial.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't have a problem with either one. I do have a problem with supporting specific software by adapting the standards to it. I don't think it's a good precedent to set, and I don't think it'll be doing us any favors down the road. But if you can come up with a general solution for any checksum that you may want to use now, or when 64-character checksums come along 5 years from now, you know, something expandable, something scalable, great. Checksums can be very useful, especially with online delivery of very large files.
Okay, Dick, you identified two tasks that you thought Todd was trying to solve with this. How would you phrase those?
Well, one is clean up the data dictionary entry, which says pending right now. I think he wants to change some of the wording, and there may be a few of the other things. So that was why I was suggesting that he simply resubmit the data dictionary proposal as a standalone item. The other was to add this MD5sums.txt to the root of volumes. Those seem to be the two things he's actually proposing to do differently.
All right, and did that cover your major issues?
Yep.
Okay, Ron, why don't you take a crack at it now?
Excuse me,
yes.
Just a minute. It's Mitch. I know I checked in late, but I'm going to have to drive pretty soon. I thought maybe I should throw my two bits in now.
Oh, go ahead, yes.
Since I thought I came alphabetically before.
You do, and I'm sorry, I just dropped.
It's okay, I'm just giving you a hard time. I showed up late. I got confused reading it, but that's not saying very much. I confuse easily. About who's being required to do what when. If we're going to end up saying that electronic deliveries from data preparers have to have the checksum and the root directory, but we're not going to require that for hard media deliveries, then we're going to have two different structures based solely on how we receive the data as opposed to a standard that says you have to have the checksum and the root directory. And frankly, I'm not sure that DVDs come across clean every time as well. So if we're going to require it, why aren't we requiring it for every volume that we receive, regardless of the method of delivery?
I don't think he's requiring anything.
Right. That's the.
Is this going to be another optional?
So far.
The odd thing about it is everything in here is optional.
Yeah. You know, that's my least favorite word in the standards. If this is something that's going to be essential for us to be able to sit down as we get ready to migrate data to new media to have an original checksum, then somebody has to provide that. And either the data provider gives it to us or the receiving node has to do the checksum and hope that what they got was actually what was sent.
Can I make a recommendation on this front? What would you folks think about making it optional while we're still on PDS-3, but making it required once we go to PDS-4?
I can live with that, but then I think that internally we, the PDS, should say that receiving nodes that get a volume, no matter how we get it, that doesn't have a checksum, should at that point insert one or make a separate checksum data file that they keep so that we have original checksums for all of our stuff. And that means that engineering or somebody's got to go back to all of the existing stuff as well. If this is good, it's good for what we already have, not just good for what we're going to get.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm concerned about required because we get all kinds of little crap files and they're not coming from pipelines, so inserting the checksums after the fact is a major deal.
Yeah, but I think the need for it is also major. I mean, if we are an archive organization, we need to have ways of making, maintaining our data integrity.
Well, like I said, lots of those files are ASCII text files. You can look at them and see whether there's a problem.
They are for you. Most nodes, they're not.
Well, like I said, that's fine. But if you require it, then I have to put up with it for the thousands and thousands of files that I get like that that aren't created by a pipeline and don't have checksums and won't have checksums.
What if you didn't put it in the file, but you just maintained this
manifest?
That's the same problem. I'm going to be constantly updating it.
We hire
for
somebody.
Something that's just really not useful to me.
My preference would be to make it required and give waivers where appropriate.
I also have a problem with making it required because it's such a new thing, and I don't think it's got a long shelf life. And I hate writing things into the standards that don't have long shelf life.
Well, I think, and you've already made some valid points that we need to consider about having a more general standard on checksums without specifying the MD5 checksum in particular. Given that, if we could come up with a more robust long-term standard, I would then counter that I think it is important and it should not have a short shelf life.
That's why I think doing it separately outside the archive is a good idea, because then if PDS decides they don't like MD5 anymore because there is a 64-character mechanism, PDS can go back and check and redo all the checksums.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the issue of having to be constantly updating such a file, frankly, you or I could probably put together a Perl script in an hour that would do that for you. I mean, the utility exists to calculate the checksums, to create these manifest files, to wrap that in a Perl program that would make updates, verify files against the existing manifest, and just run that as a cron job would seem to me to be a relatively easy task.
Yeah, you just need to have some change control so that people don't arbitrarily change the checksum because they think it's bad.
Right. So I guess that brings us back to the question of optional versus required.
I'm okay with PDS-4, but I can see Ann's problem that not all users are going to jump into this wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I think if it remains optional, Geoscience is for it. If you make it optional, required, we have real problems.
What about it required once we move to PDS-4? Does that give you time to get your users up to date on making this part of a regular archive delivery?
I mean, I see this almost as a policy question rather than a standards issue, in that each node needs to have a method of maintaining the integrity of their data sets and their archives and a way to retrieve stuff if there are problems. So this is one way to do it, and if you make it required, then all the issues, like Ann said, about why MD5 and not something else, or something else may become later. I mean, all of that can be solved with a policy that says each node is required to maintain the integrity of their data sets, and they could choose the way they want to do that.
I think there is validity to that. On the other hand, Ed, we also are an organization that transfers data among the nodes a lot, and therefore we're going to need to have mechanisms in place to make sure that, you know, we can communicate and we can share the methods that we're using to ensure our data integrity. So if we've got a standard in place, you know, it doesn't require anyone to use any particular type of checksum, but it would allow us to at least figure out on a machine-readable level what kind of checksum are you calculating so I can check it on this end.
And I've always thought that if you're going to make this required, we don't necessarily have to make it a requirement that's levied on the data submitter. It could be an arrangement so that the node produces the checksum after they receive the volume and leave the option of which way it goes in the hands of the node. So PPI getting a huge amount of electronic transfer is going to say to their data providers, look, we really need to have you run a checksum ahead of time so we know what we got. And for Ring's node that gets enough data from one user that we can put it on a CD and have room to spare, we say, okay, you just send us the data, we'll look at it, and we'll run the checksum. But if it's going to be required to be there, then we need to have some provision to get it there, whether it's the provider or the node. Did that make any sense, or am I just rambling now?
It does make sense. I am a little concerned that if we put a requirement on the data provider, that there are certain data providers out there that should be doing it because they're transferring huge volumes of data that will refuse to because it's not a requirement. And this gets back to the old thing of the node.
That's right. And if you make it a requirement that with an option to have it picked up by the node, then the node's got to have the strength to, in its community, to say, you don't qualify for the waiver.
Yeah.
This is sort of related, but it's just a thought that's occurred to me. When data are delivered to the engineering node for inclusion in the master catalog, would it make sense to run a checksum on them then and keep it as part of the database?
Absolutely it would, but it would be even more useful if that checksum could be compared to the checksum that was generated by the node or by the data preparer to make sure that the data that's received at the engineering node is exactly the same data that was sent in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And also the data we receive at the engineering node is typically ASCII data. The easiest stuff we have to validate.
Elizabeth, I'm going to have to mute my mic. I've had my 2 cents worth. I am still online, and I'll chime in if I come up with something else to say, but I'm going to be in a noisy environment, so I don't want to put in a bunch of background noise.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you.
This is Steve. I'd just like to bring up another issue here. It seems like there are two issues. One is the requirement on the archive and the requirement for distribution. I think there is a requirement for checksum on the archive. Now, the only question in my mind from that perspective is that PDS now or is that NSSDC? Now, so that's something we can talk about in a moment, but the other issue is, of course, the distribution. The checksum is useful to determine whether or not you got what you think was sent to you. So I think there are two issues here. But I disagree with there was some comment earlier that there shouldn't be a requirement for checksum in the archive. I think at some point we're going to have to seriously think about that, and I would think that checksum, more likely than not, would be a requirement on the archive.
Yeah. I mean, in my experience, the further upstream you initiate the checksum, the better off you are. I mean, just from my own background on Mars Pathfinder, because the checksum was generated on the image objects, practically the minute the data hit the ground, we were able to detect some errors that occurred in some of the images that had a portion of the image rotated by the ground processing software. Without that checksum, that never would have occurred, or if the checksum had been generated after the imaging node received the data, we would never have figured that out. The more useful this keyword, or the earlier this keyword is generated, the more useful it is.
I'll have to agree with Elizabeth there. We've had issues with data that's been delivered to us by data producers where they've submitted thousands upon thousands of small binary files, and somewhere in the transmission, four or five of them got corrupted, and yet we had no way of knowing it. I mean, we managed to actually detect it later on in trying to read the files, but that was only because we had to go through and change all the labels, and we had to write code to read them, and it crashed on, a couple of files, and we ended up sort of going back and determining that they were corrupted somewhere in the transfer, and were able to then get new files. But it would have been very nice to have known right sort of initially, and not 3 years after we'd been distributing the data, that there was a problem with only a small number of files within a large transfer.
Did you say the corruption occurred before you wrote the labels?
It occurred before we wrote the labels the second time. The data provider provided labels with the files, but we wanted to go back and add a couple of keywords to the labels, so we went through and regenerated labels for them.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that the checksum isn't necessarily a label function.
No, but if I had received with that data delivery a manifest of checksums, I would have very quickly known that I had a few contaminated or corrupted files.
Sure.
And as it was, we didn't learn about it for years.
Yeah, but you didn't need the labels in order to have that.
No, we didn't
manifest.
Need the labels. What we needed was some way of knowing that there
yeah.
was corruption
yeah.
during file transfer. So.
Okay,
it would have been helpful had it been upstream and the data provider had provided us with that checksum list prior to transfer.
Okay, I need to apologize to Ron. I have not yet allowed him to provide his comments on this, so go ahead.
Maybe that should be a policy.
What should be?
Letting Ron.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
It would be voted down. I think I really do agree with Ed that it is a policy on how the node should go about providing this capability to ensure that when files get transmitted, and frankly, we're transmitting them all over the place, including there's this large effort going on with how we're transferring files to NSSDC, how they would ensure the integrity of the file during all this transmission. So, but having said that, I would vote that this be mandatory and with waivers given, but I don't see that as being very popular right at this moment. The other thing I would like to see, my preference would be instead of this md5sums.txt at the root, I would like us to have an md5sums.tab that would sit in the index directory. So this would be a special index file labeled, of course, just like you would label any table object with minimal, just two columns. One's the file specification name and the other being the checksum value. That by virtue of it being in a file and labeled as a file, then it should be fairly trivial to write some scanning software that would compare all those values against all of the files that exist in the virtual volume.
So in a sense you're saying a manifest file for the volume,
yep.
which includes a checksum.
Yep.
Why not make the checksum required in the index.tab file?
The answer is...
It doesn't cover the labels and things like that. But
exactly. It would only cover the data product files.
Yeah, but that's what we're more concerned about.
But I think what this is saying is that we would be able to checksum every file in the archive,
yeah.
or in the volume, I'm sorry, including the A README, for example.
Exactly. I mean, we really are distributing, and we're looking at the next sort of thing, is we're going to distribute all of these files, documents, erratas, the whole schmear, electronically, and if nothing else, just going to NSSDC. We need a mechanism at the file level, and I'm going to even push at the object level later on, for ensuring that we don't have any of these bit slips that you get during transmission.
And actually, there's some sort of precedent for this. The PPI node at one point had an index table. It wasn't the product index table, but they had an index table that listed every file on a volume. Is that true, Steve?
Yeah, that we used to do that, and originally our index tables listed every volume. Then when we were told not to do that anymore, we created a manifest.tab, which was basically an index of everything.
Right.
It's not called index.tab.
You still do that?
But we stopped no.
Oh, okay.
It just got to be a...
But I think that's what Ron is kind of suggesting, is this manifest table be created again, which is a list of every file on the volume, together with checksum, and who knows what else could go in there. I mean, sizes, you know.
I think it sounds like the one problem that would be introduced by that is when somebody runs the MD5 deep utility, they're going to get one error message, which is the manifest file itself.
If you run MD5 deep and you're not, it'll only run from the index directory down, so it won't do anything.
Well, you run it in the root, and then after you've finished, you move the results to the index directory.
There is one problem here, then.
You create it then, but then it's all the file locations are wrong relative to where the file now sits.
May I suggest that if you don't like the output of this particular utility, that PDS write its own?
Yeah, I mean, that's the alternative, is to provide a PDS utility that does MD5 deeps, but works the way PDS wants it to work.
Practically speaking, if you're going to require MD5s, PDS ought to be writing its own algorithm, or its own software, rather, to make it relatively easy anyway for doing full volume checks anyway.
I kind of agree, because we've basically got a conflict between the needs of the MD5 deep utility and the PDS, and I think the solution is, let's grab the algorithm and write our own software.
That works for a couple of reasons. First off, we can push a button on the web page for the user community submitting to generate the checksum using our software. The other problem with the way we were talking about doing this tab is that when you do a comparison, it's going to give you an error because the original didn't have the table file. Did that make sense?
I actually did not understand that. Could you please repeat?
Okay. If you run the MD5,
yep.
It generates, and then you insert a table in the index directory. When you do another checksum, you're going to get a different answer because there's a new file that it didn't have the first time.
Yes,
you take it out.
Yeah, but now you're going to have to go through and say that.
Okay, and the other issue is when we talk about taking it out or moving it to the root directory, this then makes the utility essentially useless for validating hard copy archives because you can't simply move files around on a hard copy medium. So,
whereas if we write it, we can tell it to ignore that file.
Yeah, and the other thing is you can simply ignore the one error message that you're going to get in the output. On the other hand, I think the more elegant solution is we come up with our own software so we don't need to worry about this problem.
That's the usual way.
Yeah.
And that's good because Elizabeth's plate's not very full just yet.
The tools that I'm aware of, they only... when you're doing validation, they only validate the files that are in the log file. They ignore everything else that might be on the volume. So if you've got this extra file on there, it doesn't have an entry and it doesn't check it. So you're not even going to get an error file, or error message.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm assuming that's coming from
Gio. All right,
Ron, did you get all your comments in?
I'm done. So, do people like the I don't want to call it an option, substituting the tab for the MD5 sums.txt?
I think, assuming we write our own software, I think that's a better solution, rather than cluttering up the root directory.
summarize again what the decision has been?
I think the suggestion was, rather than adding an extra file to the root directory, we create an extra file in the index directory. It's basically a properly formatted PDF table, so an md5sums.tab, or call it our checksums.tab file for a more generic case.
And the advantage of doing that is that you don't have to change the standards to allow that file in the root directory?
Yeah, and I mean, basically, it's the kind of file that should be in the index. It's more, it's a...
Okay.
Does it also include the file specification name for me?
Yes, it would be the full file specification name, right.
Oh, and you may tell that I was out of the room for a while. Is it still optional, or does the decision...
We have not settled that, to be honest, Susie.
Okay.
The suggestion that was on the table is that we consider it optional in PDF 3 and required in PDF 4. And that may be something we're going to just need to vote on eventually.
Well, it comes back to Ed's suggestion that this should be a policy.
Well, what part of it is a policy and what part of it is standard? I mean, obviously we need to have standards governing the structure of the file, its location.
I look at the optional versus mandatory as the policy, and that each node or even data node would have the responsibility to ensure that bit flipping is detectable. And we're going to say that the way we're kind of recommending is using right now MD5.
Okay, so the way we need to proceed with this is to write a policy.
No.
I'm not sure you want to go there.
I'm saying there's two things that we're going to suggest. One is this keyword, and the other is an MD5sums.tab. And leave it at that.
Okay, but we need to have language. We need to figure out what our language in the SCR, excuse me, in the standards reference is going to be. Is it going to say required or optional? And what I'm hearing from you is, well, that's part of the policy. So I'm saying, fine. How do I get resolution on the policy?
Well, I'm saying because people seem to want it to be optional right at this point, call it optional, and then we will address this policy issue later on. I'm confusing you.
It's not that you're confusing me as much as I would like to get resolution on this. So
I don't think there's any argument that discipline nodes are responsible for their archives. I don't think we have to make a list of all the things they're responsible for checking. So I think you just go ahead and say this is one way of doing it. It's not required, but this is how you do it if you want to use MD5.
Yeah, that's right. If you can partially divide the question at least, by sticking to the mechanics in the standards document. Here's how you do it.
Okay. Is there general consensus that we should move in the direction that Ann suggested in terms of possibly even coming up with a checksum class word and making this a more generic SCR regarding checksums, one of which is the MD5 checksum? Is there any strong disagreement with that?
No, I'd like to see that. I'm not sure Todd wants to push this, but it seems like the right way to go.
It may or may not help Steve Hughes, for example, if he's still there and awake, with resolving the 32-hex number issue with ODL. If it's, I don't know how far-reaching the effects of ODL are, but if it's easier to package it as an upgrade to ODL, which will eventually handle 64, 128 character, whatever, by an extension to the existing language, then that may be useful. If not, then it probably doesn't buy you anything because nobody pays any attention to what class words are, really, I don't think.
Okay.
The implied class word is value, so that kind of works anyway.
We're checking to the ability to handle the values.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just said we're looking into that.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to take it then as a general consensus that we should move in the direction of making this a more generic checksum SCR rather than specifically the MD5. Okay.
But we could still clean up, or do you want, well, never mind.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we could still work on that data dictionary entry, which is sort of sitting there incomplete.
Yes, I agree.
But if you're going to change whether it's a class word or not, maybe you want to even hold off on that one.
That's a good point. Okay. All right. What other things had I noted?
So what I wrote down is checksum becomes a class word. We need to figure out the limitations on these bit change alterations.
Well, there's one other thing that needs to be added to the impact section. The standards reference is going to, chapter 10.2.2, which is reserved file names, will need to be modified to include whatever name we come up with for the checksum file.
Not if it's a tab file.
Yeah, that's right. If you put it in the index directory, for example, then there are other indices you can have in the index directory that aren't mentioned specifically in the standards because you can have other files in that directory.
But this is a reserved file name, so if somebody decided to call an image checksum.tab, we'd all be pretty ticked off.
I wouldn't. Wouldn't bother me.
I think this needs to be a reserved file name.
I think it ought to be reserved.
Reserved, yeah.
Okay.
Just one last note on that. That is a utility. That's a file name that is specific to a utility that we're now considering not even using, writing our own replacement.
No, but I'm not arguing it has to be MD5 sum. I'm saying whatever name we come up with, whether it's checksum.tab or whatever, that file name needs to be reserved.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'll buy that.
Okay, it looks like everything I caught on this has already been mentioned. Yes, okay. I don't think I have any additional comments beyond that. Okay, Steve?
Yep.
I'm guessing I should probably talk with Todd rather than just volunteering him to do the rewrite and figure out which one of us is going to pursue this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, the way I think that we need to pursue this is the way Dick was proposing, which is break this into two SCRs. The one that talks about the keyword itself and the data dictionary update, and get that one kind of done and over. And then we need to go on to one which is about the use of this for volume integrity, et cetera, the checksums.tab.
Does that really need to be two separate SDRs, or can the update to the existing element definition simply be attached to the SDR?
You can do it that way, but I think the element definition update is a slam dunk, so you can get that off the table faster if it moves by itself.
Yeah, okay, but
what's the urgency on that? I mean, the keyword's already in there.
People are using it. It's not fully defined. It's not super urgent.
Okay, but in what sense is it not adequately defined? I mean,
it's pending.
That's pending.
Okay, we need to change the pending to approved, and that's true for many keywords.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we just kind of let that slide and let it get absorbed in the rest of Elizabeth's PDS dictionary cleanup?
I mean, if there's textual change that needs to happen with the definition, that's fine, but Todd has actually shortened rather than lengthened the definition, so I don't think we can argue that he's providing more information on an inadequate definition. That does not seem to be what he's doing.
Well, since he has incomplete sentences and things like that, I'm not quite sure what he was proposing.
Right, and that's something we need to get clarification on. Frankly, I would prefer, and I can be dissuaded on this, but I would prefer to see it as part of the SDR, talking about the overall changes, because I think things need to be considered as a package, and we can get ourselves into trouble when we do it piecemeal like that.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I don't care, and I'm happy to let Elizabeth have her way.
You may need other keywords as this bigger package moves along. That's one consideration.
Like a checksum type or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Basically I need to talk offline with Todd and figure out how we're going to move forward and take all of these recommendations into account. Okay. Anybody have any final comments before we sign off? I think what our goal would be to do is rewrite this and redistribute it and either continue the discussion in 1 or 2 weeks and hopefully come to a vote then.
1 week is probably bad since many of us will be out next Wednesday.
Okay, and I think it's also not going to give sufficient time for us to get the rewrite done. When you say many are going to be out next week, what's the issue there, DPS?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Duh! Okay, yes. 2 weeks. Sounds good.
I think Elizabeth's working too hard.
All right. Okay, sorry. Any final comments?
I think we were planning on using this time. We're going to try and see if we could use this time to do the tools requirement discussion.
Not next week. Please, not next week.
That'd be the perfect opportunity.
It needs a lot of work, so I'm not sure you can accomplish a lot next week.
You're welcome to use the time if you can get your people that want to participate to agree.
No, I'm just saying if we hold this. Okay. Well, we'll work out a time.
All right. Okay. All right, so we're tentatively going to say we'll continue this discussion in 2 weeks. I will work with Todd, and between the two of us, we'll get a new version out. And again, just to try and get a final consensus, it sounds like people are not excited about making this required, at least right now. And so maybe we can just table the issue of whether or not it should be required under PDS 4.
Well, depending on what your implementation plan is, if it's going to be required, then I need to get the tools the day that it becomes required.
And that's very fair.
Yeah. So if you hand me the tools so that I can start doing it immediately on my system the day that it's required, I can live with that.
Okay. Any other comments on that issue specifically?
I think you've got enough other things. You don't want to add this as a requirement now.
Mm. No, I don't, but.
But I think geoscience is also concerned about required.
Yeah. Okay. Let's table the PDF core issue. We'll leave it as optional for now. Okay. Sounds good. So we'll just do it that way. All right. Thank you, everybody. And if we don't talk again, have a great Thanksgiving.
done for now. My wife will drive herself, unsupervised. Yeah. Well, that works. All right, so we're going back to the flash. Is that correct? All of my, I don't say dirty files, but there's fun files on there that's just here. Dirty files? Yeah, there are things that I don't really use on the computer, but I like them. Like, if they didn't have ways to offset. A couple of programs that in there entirely.
Will it be a left or a right onto the 27 map? It's going to be a left.
live webcam account. That's made it good, but that's almost going up the far. So the far post is really expensive. But I did want to be able to see live. Hold on. Yeah, that would be neat. That would be clever. I'm not going to be a TV screen at a distance. Yeah. He wasn't listening, but I didn't say it.
No.
No.
How about the
Margaret, I've gotten a lot of alpha, and I may not be able to eat it.
Why?